Daniel chapter 12. We're in the last chapter, the last message by the grace of God in the book of Daniel. I believe this is the 32nd message that we've had in the book of Daniel. What a great book of the Bible for so many reasons. And we've come to verse number 4. We'll read from Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 to the end of the book. And if we entitle the message tonight, it would be a question that was given here. And that question is, how long shall it be to the end? How long shall it be to the end? Now, I don't know if a lot of people are asking that question right now. There are people more concerned and consumed with how long is the quarantine going to last instead of when's the world going to be over or when Jesus is coming. But the end is near. And the end is coming. And the end is coming for all men and for this world system. And that question was asked after all these prophecies and all these visions and all the things that God revealed to Daniel. That question was asked at the end of this book. Would you look with me, please? Daniel 12 and verse 4, the Bible says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." Now this book ends discussing what does all this have to do with Daniel and his life, and what does it have to do with those that are going to be reading these prophecies. May I say, you know, when this time of the end, the first question we ask is in verse 6, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? How long is it going to be until the end? The timing of the end. There are five different allotted time frames in the book of Daniel. And I want to mention those real quickly. And, you know, God's got a calendar. He's got a schedule and everything's running on time. And I heard as a boy, you know, I heard the old preacher preach. He said, Jesus, he was born on time, and he died on time, and he rose on time, and he'll be coming on time. And God's got a calendar. It's all worked out. It's happening. It's rolling along. And when Daniel heard all these prophecies, which included the Antichrist, which included the Great Tribulation, which included the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom that he'll set up, that there was a question that was made. And what strikes me is that Daniel didn't even ask this question. It wasn't Daniel that asked how long shall it be to the end. Look at it with me again. The Bible said in verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river. Now, there are three people here. There are three personages that Daniel sees. He's looking out, and here's the river. And there's one standing on that side of the river, and there's one standing on that side of the river, and then there's a man standing upon the water. Now, this is amazing. Now, these two, one on either side of the river, I believe these are angels, just like God calls them many different things in the book of Daniel. Sometimes he calls them a watcher. Sometimes he calls them, you know, princes. All different things he describes the angels and their ministries in the book of Daniel, and how they're helping Daniel and encouraging him, even giving him understanding at time and strength. But as Daniel looks, okay, if you'll allow me my interpretation here, here's an angel on this side of the river. There's one there. There's one on that side of the river. And yet the one in the middle, the Bible says in verse 6, one said to the man clothed in linen, clothed in linen. Now, who is this clothed in linen? Well, the first thing before I answer that question is, isn't it interesting that the angel asked the man standing on the waters, look at verse 6, and one, not Daniel, one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these waters? You know what? There's a lot of things the angels don't understand. There's a lot of things the angels don't know. Of course, they don't understand. They look into the things of the church and the preaching of the Word of God. They don't understand that. They don't understand the song of the redeemed and all that. But they don't even understand everything to do with prophecy. You know, if you were an angel, you wouldn't know everything about prophecy. So, you know, some of these people that think they found Saddam Hussein in the Bible and Isaiah somewhere, you know, and they found out, you know, even angels don't have all that figured out. Here is an angel that calls out to the man clothed in linen that's standing upon the water. How long is it going to be for all these wonders to take place? The angel didn't know. You know, Jesus reminded us of that. He told us, you know, he talked about that generation and the fig tree budding and all these things this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And he even said that the angels of God didn't know that day and the hour. So there's a lot of things the angels don't know and they're curious about. That they want to know when is all this going to ramp up, all these wonders that God showed to Daniel about the future. And the one that answered those questions, the Bible said in verse 6, he's the man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of the river. He's standing on these waters. He's on top of the waters. And the Bible said in verse 7, I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever. Now, that only happened one other place in the Bible. And that's Revelation chapter 10. We'll probably go there before we get finished tonight. But this is an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. And you know what? I would say this, that Jesus still has all the answers. He has the answer for the angel. He has the answer for Daniel. And more importantly, he has the message that Daniel needs to heed and to hear. Now, he's going to give an answer to this angel. Wouldn't that be something if you could ever enter the conversation between the angels and Jesus? That'd probably be a pretty wild thing. And so he answers this angel and he raises his hands. And the first thing he says, and this is, there's five different allotted time frames in the book of Daniel. I'll give them to you. He, in answer to that question, how long shall it be to the end? He says in verse 7, it shall be for a time, times, and a half. So the first designation is a time, that's one, times, that's two more, that's three and a half. That's three and a half. Now we ran into that kind of thinking before in the book of Daniel when he talked about it. Look back over at chapter 9, and what we're going to do is, and if you'll turn over to chapter 9 before we read those verses, I want to read you how he's given these days to answer this question. In Daniel chapter 12, watch verse 11. So there are five time frames here. Daniel 12, 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. That's a time frame. 1,290 days. Look at verse 12. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. That's a different time frame. All right, now turn over to Daniel before I read you chapter 9. Look at chapter 8. I'll give you one more there. Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. Watch this now. Daniel 8, 14. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. That's a third number of days. Now, when we were in Daniel chapter 8, I told you that we would answer that when we got to chapter 12. So we've already got three different days that are mapped out by Daniel. The first one is 1,290 days. The second one is 1,335 days. And the third one, according to Daniel 8:14, is 2,300 days. Now, what does all this mean? That means that God is keeping things numbered down to the very day on his calendar. You know, the Bible even tells us not to number our years. He says that we're to number our days. Our days. And God numbers the days of prophecy. He has a certain number of days that he's going to allow the Antichrist to do his work. He has a certain number of days that he's going to allow the children of Israel to have to bear under that great burden. He has a certain number of days before that rapture, after the rapture, that the revelation will take place of his coming again. There's a certain number of days, and he's got it all mapped down to the very day. Now, I said there were five designations. I only read you three. Look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Now, this is the part about Daniel's 70 weeks. And the Bible talks about Daniel's 70 weeks, and I'm not going to rehash this. We went through all that in detail. These are weeks of years. And the Bible says in Daniel 9:27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, that's every day of the week for a year. So that 1 week, that 70th week, that's going to represent 7 years there. The Bible says in verse 27, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice of the oblation to cease for the overspreading of abominations. He shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. So you've got 1 week, that's 7 years, and then you've got half of that week, some very important things going on. That's 3.5 years. Go to Daniel chapter 7. Now the one standing on the waters, which later he would stand on the waters again, amen. Jesus would walk on them again. He told them a time and times and a half. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Watch this. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. That's the Antichrist. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Again, there's again that designation of 3.5. And it's going to be 3.5 years. Go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. What Daniel speaks of, the book of Revelation opens up so beautifully, so plainly. You say, what's all this about? It's about God's calendar. So, man, when are we? You know what they're doing right now? They're counting the days till they can open up the state. You know what God's doing? God's counting the days until his son comes back. That's what he's doing. And he's going to count the days that and only allow a certain number for the Antichrist and the devil to have his way in this world. In Revelation chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 14, look at it. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished, watch it now, just like Daniel chapter 12. For a time, that's one. And times, that's 2 more, makes 3. And half a time, that's 3.5. From the face of the serpent. Now, if you didn't understand what that meant, look at verse 6 of the same chapter. Revelation 12, verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Do you see that? So the time, times, and half a time is 1,260 days, which is 1,260 days. Look at chapter 11 of Revelation. See if we'll find that again. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. Well, how much is that? Look at verse 2. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. That's the time frame. 1,260 days, or 1,260 days, is 3.5 years, or it's 42 months. That is the last half of this Antichrist kingdom. That's when all hell will break loose on the earth. Now you double that for the whole week. Remember, that's just half the week. You double that and you've got 2,520 days. So long story short, there are 5 different designations in the book of Daniel. 1 equals 7 years. That's 2,520 days. That's the entire expanse of the tribulation period that happens after the rapture, which could start tonight. Amen. I wish it would. 2,520 days. Now, then the Bible says you go on into there and you're going to have 2,300 days. And then you go on there a little further and you're going to have 1,335 days. And you go a little further, you got 1,290 days and a little further, 1,260 days. You say, preacher, what does all this mean? I'll show it to you. Look at chapter 8 again of Daniel. So if 2,520 days, which is 7 years, is the whole tribulation period, what is this 2,300 days? That's 7 years minus 7 months and 10 days. What happens with that 7 months? What's that all about? Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. And he said unto me, well, let's get the question, verse 13, Daniel 8, 13. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice, okay, and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days. Now, sacrifices, one of these days, are going to start again in Jerusalem. And the Bible says for 2,300 days, you're going to have until the daily sacrifice and until the sanctuary is cleansed. That's when Jesus kicks the Antichrist out and cleanses the temple and rebuilds it for himself. There are going to be 2,300 days. Now, that is short, as I said, 7 months and 10 days. What does that mean? That means in the first 7 months of the tribulation period, you're going to have a process where either the temple will be built. It could be built before the rapture. But don't think, now listen now, don't think that the temple has to be built before the rapture. They can get that done in that 7 months after the rapture. You see what I'm saying? Because the daily sacrifices do not start until 220 days into the tribulation period. Okay? So there doesn't have to be a temple there for us to get raptured. Thank the Lord. See, I'm not looking for a temple to be built. I'm not looking for an Antichrist. I'm just looking for Jesus. That's all I'm looking for. And none of that, nothing has to take place for Jesus to come. And so for 220 days, that temple can be built, and then the sacrifice start, and then for 2,300 days till Jesus comes, takes us on to the end of that period. So also, let me just make a note here, you that take notes and just very studious of your Bible. There is a 7 month period listed in Ezekiel 39:12, which is very strange. And Ezekiel 39:12 says that the Israelites for 7 months are going to be burying the people that come down from Gog and Magog. For 7 months, they're going to be burying them. They're going to wipe them out. And you that have stayed with us through this whole study, remember when we were in chapter 11 and I told you we didn't know what all that meant and what all that talked about. We were talking about the king of the north in chapter 11, verse 5 to 19. And Gog and Magog, they are in the north. And it's very possible that right after the rapture, there's going to be a big battle, a big war coming down from the north into Israel. And that 7-month period, not only a time of building the temple, but also a time for the burying of those bodies. Now, I can't say that emphatically, but that's very much a possibility. You might want to look into that, and because if that doesn't mean that, and Ezekiel's talking about something after Armageddon. All right, now go back to Daniel chapter 12. So we got 7 years, which is 2,520 days. We've got the 2,300 days, which is from when daily sacrifices start, and then the abomination until it gets cleansed. And then we've got the 3.5-year mark. That's where the abomination of desolation is set up. That's 1,260 days. Well, what are these other two designations? Go back with me to Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, he says in verse 11, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." So that's 30 days more than this last half of the Great Tribulation. And may I say, what he's saying is 30 days before the abomination. Now, we know the abomination of desolation is set up in the middle of the week, right in the middle at the 3.5 mark, year mark. That's when that abomination of desolation is set up and the Antichrist declares himself God and they all worship him. And the mark gets passed out and all that business. That's in the middle part. 30 days prior to that, which would take into that 1,290 days. That's when the daily sacrifices are stopped. So for 30 days, it's going to take 30 days for him to stop that sacrifice and then for his abomination to be set up. Now, what's the last designation? Verse number 12. "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days." Now, what's 1,335 days? What does that mean? That's 75 days beyond the 3.5 years. And he says, if you get to the 75 days past the tribulation, you will be blessed. You see that? Verse 12, you'll be blessed. Now, he's not talking to church people because we're all going to be in heaven during all that. Okay, and then we're going to come back down with Jesus. But he's saying if they're on the earth, they'll be blessed if they can get 75 days past the tribulation. Now you say, well, why couldn't they just be blessed if they make it to the end of the tribulation? There's something called the judgment of nations. And the Bible says after Jesus comes, Matthew 25, 31 and 46, there's a great judgment that takes place. After the Antichrist is taken care of and the false prophets taken, he's going to bring the nations and be judged. And a lot of them are going to be cast into hell at that time. And so there's a 75-day period, I believe, after the tribulation, that if you can make it to the end of that, that will be past the judgment of nations, 1,335 days. Then you'll be able to enjoy those millennial blessings and also of the rebuilt temple that Zechariah 6 talks about. You say, okay, preacher, all that's prophecy, all that's days. I'm telling you what, it may not excite you, but I'm telling you what, God's got everything numbered. You know, he's got my days numbered. My days are numbered. I have an appointment day, and the rapture has an appointment day, and I trust it'll be tonight. But go back to the text. Let's find out something else, okay? So, that's how long shall it be to the end, the angel asked. Now look at verse 4, Daniel 12, verse 4. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." So here's the next question, or the answer really that is given to Daniel. What is going to happen until the end comes? It doesn't matter if you're living in the 21st century or if you lived before or if you lived in Daniel's day. You know, Daniel needs some perspective. If I know all this is going to happen in the time of the end, by the way, the time of the end, only Daniel uses that phrase. You say, okay, the time of the end, that's down there, that's over 2,500 years in the future with Daniel. Well, what's Daniel going to do? What's he have to understand during that time? What's going to happen until the end comes? He says, look at verse 4. "Many shall run to and fro." You see that in verse 4? What do people do until the end time comes? Well, they just run. They just run to and fro. You remember where that little phrase is found in the Bible? Doesn't the Bible say in Job chapter 1 about God asked the devil where he'd been? He said, oh, just to and fro. Just running to and fro. Remember Zechariah chapter 1 when we went with all those weird riders riding all those different colored horses and how the Bible said they just what they were doing, they were running to and fro. You know what men do? They just run to and fro. And you know there's you know why they're people going crazy right now? Because they're running to and fro has been idled. I said, preacher, what's going to happen before the end comes? Mark it down. They're going to start running to and fro again. This is just a pause. This is a lull in the action, and they're going to pick up running to and fro. Man is busy. I think the message here is, okay, here's the time of the end. This is what's going to look like. This is what the devil's going to do. This is what God's going to do. And until that day, man's just going to run everywhere, to and fro, and do the things he does and live his life. He'll run here and there in trains and cars and planes and ships and stay busy. And most of that running to and fro has to do with absolutely nothing in regards to eternity. What were they doing 500 years ago? Just running to and fro. Running from the mailbox to the house, from the house to work, from work to play, from play to school, from school to gathering, from gathering to the to a marriage altar, to a graveyard, just running to and fro. And somewhere man's got to see his life in view of the end and not just see the running to and fro. You understand what I'm saying? What will happen until the end comes? Many shall run to and fro. Look at the next thing, verse 4, end of the verse. And knowledge shall be increased. Do you see that? You know what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, which is also a prophetic thing about the end of the church age? He talks about those perilous times, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he also says this in verse 7. He says, they will be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you know that verse says, until the end comes, knowledge shall be increased. There, you know, knowledge has been increasing so rapidly. I don't know if you're a student of history. But if you look at to see the advancements of humanity in knowledge, now I use knowledge because that's a different word than wisdom that he's going to use at the end of this book. You can have a lot of knowledge and have no wisdom. And what we have as a society, the closer you get to the end, knowledge increases and increases and increases. 100 years ago, nobody ever heard of a microwave oven. You know, you say that now to kids, and they say, man, they think microwave ovens have been around for forever, you know. Did you know in 1974 or 1975, I read a statistic, it said 1975, only 4% of households in America had a microwave oven. That means 96% didn't have one, didn't know it. And if they had one, there were these huge things that cost, you know, like $1,200 or something like that. Nobody had them. And I remember as a boy, first time we got a microwave oven in the house, I thought, my goodness, how'd that get hot that fast? It was a miracle. How did somebody figure that out? You know, I'd say if you go back a few hundred years, they could not have dreamed that you'd put 500 people in a big ship 35,000 feet above the air and let them fly and they would be no pressure and they would be no, everything would be like you're just sitting in your chair. The knowledge that's been increased. You know, I'd say if you went back a couple hundred years and you tried to tell people, I'd say even probably less than that, and tried to tell people that you would be taking an organ out of one person's body and stick it in another person's body, they would thought you were a witch or something. You mean you're going to take a liver out of this guy and stick it in that guy and it's going to work? Oh, no, there's just no way. They figured out how to make liver transplants and they figured out how to do kidney transplants. They figured out how to make heart transplants. We prayed for the Randall's friend that had that heart transplant. And also, I forgot to keep praying for Cassandra Taylor's brother, Dwight. He had a heart attack and they're treating him for his heart attack. But I mean, whoever thought you could take somebody's heart out of their body work on it and put it back in their body and restart them like a car battery. I'm saying knowledge has increased. And the closer that we're getting to the coming of the Lord, the more it's increasing. People are figuring out. I mean, you know, you hold your phone up and it looks at your face and opens. And we have artificial intelligence. And cars drive themselves. That's what they talked about in cartoons when I was a little boy. I mean, I know some people that need those cars that park themselves. I mean, you push a button and here the car parks itself. What is it? Just more knowledge, more knowledge, more knowledge. It's not just that, you know, I get a kick out of it. I can get my computer and I can, in a click of my finger, I can read all of the books of centuries right at my desk. There are websites that have archived books that go back 400 or 500 years, and I can pull up those books and see them and read them. How can all that, you say, preacher, what's happened? It is just what is going to happen until the end of the days. Knowledge shall be increased. I mean, they figured out how to genetically modify crops, how to make animals fat. They figured out how to give you a baby with blue eyes if you want one. Are you listening? They figured out all these things, and it is just a marker of the signs of the times. Knowledge will be increased, but the problem is, look at verse number 10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. See that last phrase? The wise shall understand, not the smart, but the wise shall understand. You know what 1 John 5:20 says? The Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. You can have all the knowledge increase in the world, but you'll only have understanding with wisdom, and you'll only get wisdom with Jesus. So we have a society as the end comes, it gets more and more and more knowledge, and they don't know how to stay out of the rain. They have electric cars. Many of you may have seen the little video. They have electric cars, and here's a woman trying to figure out how to put the gasoline hose in the electric car. No understanding. We do space exploration. Send little satellites up there and get pictures of the world. Take pictures of the moon's surface. Have space shuttles and space stations and all this stuff out in the universe, studying all that stuff. And yet, people don't even know they can't name 5 presidents of the United States. And they don't even know if they're male or female. You understand what I'm saying? You get all this knowledge, but there'd be no wisdom. And that's the signs of the time. You got all of this knowledge that's increased, and yet people don't know how to live. They don't know how to get through life. They don't know how to cope with life because wisdom comes from God. And you can get all the medical science, and thank God that we have all those tools. But you can have, listen, you can have a society that knows all of the answers to medicine and viruses and the politics and the economics and all of that, and have absolutely be void of wisdom and don't know how to live life. And that's where we are in the last days. He says knowledge shall increase, but not wisdom. Only the wise shall understand. And then he said not just that, but go back to verse 10 again. So he says, number one, they'll run to and fro. Then he'll say knowledge shall be increased. And then he says, you know, the wise, he's the only one that's going to understand. You know what's better than a college education? Knowing God. Now, I believe in education. I don't believe God's people ought to be stupid. I believe you ought to be educated. But you can be educated. Bob Jones Sr. said this, education without salvation is damnation. That's what he said. And that's true. Because wisdom only comes from God. And no matter what you learn, you better learn God. or you'll have no wisdom. And you'll just be part of the end days that it's puffed up with all this understanding for no reason and purpose whatsoever. People have knowledge, but they have no purpose in life, because that only comes from God. Now he says, so many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased, but only the wise shall understand. This is what's going to happen to the time of the end. Verse 10, I like this part. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. You know what it means? You know what's going to happen to the time of the end? There's some people that are going to get sanctified by God, get cleansed by God, get washed by God. Daniel had a great influence in his day. God used him, I believe, to purify many. You remember up there in verse 3, he talks about they that be wise, there's one of the wise ones, shall shine as brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as a star forever and ever. You say, what do we do? The end is coming. What we're going to do is go try to reach somebody so they can get purified. That's what we do. That's what Daniel did. Oh, don't lose sight in the end times that God's got a host of people that he wants to purify and make white and try. You know, that's even true in the tribulation period. He said in the tribulation period that there were going to be many there in Revelation chapter 7 that come out of great tribulation, and they'll wash their garments and make them white. They'll be redeemed out of that tribulation period. Even in the great tribulation period, there are going to be a lot of people that come to God and put their trust in God. In the midst of that turmoil of that Antichrist, there's still going to be people get saved out of that. Many shall be purified, made white, and tried. Now, this is also a thing. I think that's a play on words as well. You know what purifies? Fire purifies. And the tribulation time is going to be a great time. The end time is going to be a great time of fire. But for those that will have wisdom, it'll purify them. You know what's going to happen to the children of Israel during the tribulation period? Oh, what awful trying. Oh, what awful fire. During that great time of tribulation with the Antichrist, but you know what's going to happen to Israel? God's going to purify them. He's going to bring them through just like Job. He's going to bring them through just like Job, and they're going to be purified, and they're going to come forth as gold. But oh, what they're going to lose. What they're going to lose in that time of tribulation period, of the trying of their hearts and their minds and their bodies even. And so trying purifies you. It purifies you. You know, even for the church, you know, when we go through trying times, you know what the purpose is? It's to purify. You know, if we wanted to be purified as bad as we wanted all the trying times to be gone, we may get somewhere with God. I wonder, and I said this Sunday, I wonder how many of us will make good use of this trying time to get close to God. What's going to happen to the end? No, I'll tell you what should happen. Purification. And the deeper the waters and the harder the trials that we go through, it purifies us. Purifies our hearts. Let this be a purifying time in your life. If not, what's the purpose? What's the use of it? And not only that, he says in Daniel 12:10, many shall be purified and made white and tried. Watch it. But the wicked shall do wickedly. Look at it. And none of the wicked shall understand. You see that? What's going to happen until the end, preacher? Evil men will wax worse and worse. And the wicked are just going to do more wickedly. And the wicked are going to get deeper and deeper into not understanding God's laws and God's truth and God's will. The closer you get to the end, the more wicked the generation become. He said in Revelation 22:11, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. It's going to just continue and snowball on man. Like that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 12, that devil-possessed house, and that devil-possessed man, like he left that house and he brought seven devils with him worse, and the latter end is worse than the first end. And he said, so shall it be in this wicked generation. And I'm telling you, the latter end of the generation at the end time is going to be more wicked and more devil-possessed than the very first was. Yeah. What's going to happen to the end? People are just going to be wicked. Yeah. And they're just going to get more wicked and more wicked. And so we ought not wake up in the morning and say, what's happened? Until the end time, they're just going to be more wickedness. How long is it going to be? What's going to happen until it comes to pass? Now watch Daniel. Go back to Daniel 12 and verse number 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven and swear by him that liveth forever. Oh, you ought to go to, I don't have time. You ought to really study Revelation 10. I mean, that's Jesus right there. You got him swearing there to the God of heaven. You've got the same sealing of the thunders of what's being said there. It's just a beautiful picture of the same exact Christ that's here. And now watch this. Here's Daniel, verse number 8. And I heard, but I understood not. And then said I, O my Lord. You see, he even calls him Lord. Look at that with a capital L. You see that? Sort of gives you another little hint of who that is. He says, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? In other words, Daniel, after all this stuff, after all these visions, after all this prophecy, Daniel comes to the end, and there is the Christ, there is the Son of God standing on the water, and Daniel says, what does all this mean for me? I don't understand all this. How does this relate to my life? And the answer that the Son of God gave him is my answer. It's your answer. Look what he said, verse 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel. For the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Watch it again, verse 13. But go thou thy way till the end be. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Lord, all this deep book, and I went through all this with Nebuchadnezzar, and I went all this through with Darius, and I went through all the lions, and I heard about the Antichrist, and I heard about your coming kingdom, and I heard about all these wild things, and I just don't get it all. What's it have to do with me? And the Lord said to Daniel, just shut it up and seal it up, because it's for the end. Now, I believe that even relates to why I think we couldn't get everything in the previous chapter, chapter 11. I think some of that's all sealed up. I know the book of the Revelation is an open book and the seals open, but there are even things like in chapter 10, he said, seal up the things those thunders said. You know, even the Apostle Paul, when he got caught up to the third heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said he heard things he couldn't even talk about. There are things, God's got secrets, brother. God, and there's things in the book of Daniel that are not going to be found out until the time of the end arrives. John Gill, he didn't have all his eschatology right. He wrote way back there in whatever it was, 1700. And he wrote back there and he said, this is what he said. I read what he said about this. He said, I think the closer that we get to the end, the more we'll understand what he's saying. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the understanding of premillennialism and all the dispensational truth that we've got since the turn of the century for the last 100 years has been like it has, because the closer we get to the end, it's going to be more relevant. But when he comes again, it'll all be made plain. Daniel said, what is this? You ever read the Bible? He said, what's this got to do with me? I'll tell you what's got to do with you. Look at it. Go thy way, Daniel. Go your way, Daniel. You know what we have a hard time doing sometimes? We have a hard time going our way. You know God's got a way for you. Go thy way, Daniel. He said it twice. Go thy way. God has a path for you, Daniel. You just go your way. Don't worry about the Antichrist, and don't worry about all these other visions, and don't get wrapped up in the King of the North, and don't get so put out with all the plagues and things that are going to happen. Just go your way. What an answer by the Son of God. I think he'd say that if he... What are we supposed to do with the pestilence that come in the end time? Go your way. Run your race. Live the life God wants you to live. And whatever's going in the world, let it go in the world. You fulfill your purpose. You've got a path to take. You've got a race to run. You've got a life to live. You've got purposes to accomplish. In other words, it's almost like the Lord says, Daniel, go do your own business. Go your way, Daniel. What you can't control and what's outside of your sphere, don't worry about. But you've got a life to live. Don't let all this affect your way. I want to be like that servant. I being in the way, the Lord led me. God's got a path, a way for my life, a path for your life. Go your way. Whatever happens, go your way. Run your race. Live your life. Fulfill your purpose. You say, oh, everything around me is falling apart. Just go your way. You say, I don't understand that this is difficult. Go your way. Do God's will for your life. You know what will happen at the end? If that'll be the case, I'm finished. Verse 13. But go thou thy way till the end be. You know, there's going to be an end for you. There's going to be an end for me. As well as an end for this world. Look at it. For thou shalt rest. You know, if you'll go your way and do the will of God for your life, there's coming a day of rest for you. You know what's going to happen to Daniel? He's going to die. But you know, that's rest too. Read Revelation. When the blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, they'll rest from their labors. Rest of body and rest of mind. Rest from sorrow and rest from sin. Rest from our labor. You know what he's telling Daniel? Just live your life, go your way, and then you'll rest. Rest never hurt anybody. Just go your way, and then you'll rest. And then I love it. I'm finished. Look at it. For thou shalt rest, and, what's that next word? Stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Daniel, you live your life, you do my will for your life, and then what will happen with you, no matter all this trouble, all this stuff I showed you, you go your way, live your life, run your race, and when your race is over, you'll rest. But then after that, Daniel, you're going to stand. I'm going to get you up off your feet. I'm going to get you up out of that grave. Guys, that's been over 2,500 years since God said that to Daniel, and his ashes are gone, and the worms have eaten his body, and the Bible says that God gave Daniel a promise that he was going to stand him back up and put him in his lot at the end of the days. When all of this is being fulfilled in the book of Daniel, God showed Daniel, God's going to raise Daniel from the dead, stand him up, and give him his own lot. You got a lot? You know, that Bible talks about ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. God's going to give Daniel a lot. He's going to stand him in that lot. You know what he's going to tell? You know what he's telling him? Daniel, I know this is difficult, son. But you go your way, and then you rest. And then I'm going to stand you up in your lot at the end of those days. And it'll all be well. What a promise. What a promise. God's people have a promise for the time of the end. Don't lose sight of that, or you'll just be saying, what does all this have to do with me? Instead of going the way God wants me to go and living the life he wants me to live, and then enjoying at the end what he wants me to enjoy.